was watching Full House the other day, and they were like, look, these potatoes look like Joe Pesci. And then they just immediately went to that scene from Goodfellas that we were all like, hey, you think I'm funny? What kind of funny?
Wait, in Full House?
In Full House. They're just
but was it reenacted with potatoes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait, really?
I was about to say, did they just cut away to the movie?
No, like one of the uncles, the one that does voices, there's Uncle Jesse and then Uncle Joey.
Yeah.
He was like carving faces into the potato.
Oh.
So he's like, hey, look, I made him look like Joe
Dave
Pesci.
Coulier.
And then there's Cousin Vinny.
I still can't believe that song is about Dave Coulier.
You ought to know.
Yeah.
By Alanis Morissette.
I still can't believe Coulier is a real name.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You ought to know it's about...
About Dave Coulier.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Uncle Joey.
It is Uncle
Joey. It is Uncle Joey.
Like...
No, not about the character.
It's about the character, not the actor.
No, it's about the dude.
I got to look into that song.
Come on in, we're so glad you could
join. I don't
like
this song.
This isn't a very good song.
Don't tell anybody you're here.
This is very quiet.
Come in and sit down. Have a seat and relax at four.
Hey everyone, welcome to a very special NPR edition of four.
No one can hear you scream, don't even bother. It's giving off a culty vibe.
Have this Kool-Aid, it's so tasty at four.
I feel funny.
I got it at Costco for only $7.99 for like a pack of 20. It was
it's
a really
a great
good deal.
Place to lay down and take a nap at four.
Shh, guys.
We're just waiting for the comet to pass.
Hey, guys.
Hey, all right.
Wow, that's weird.
It's another episode of four. From Under a Rock, a podcast where we pick a movie that one or more of us has not seen before that they should have seen by now in order to bring them out from under the proverbial rock.
Wow, nice.
Jinx.
Today we close out our seventh cycle of From Under a Rock.
Woo!
The magical seventh cycle of From Under a Rock.
Hard to believe.
That was seven boots.
That sounds about right.
It felt like an eternity for me.
It's felt exactly the right amount of time for Michael.
Mm, yeah.
He clearly hasn't been having any fun.
Oh, Mike, because time hasn't
yeah.
flown?
Michael has
well, you've been having even worse than the opposite of fun if it's taken eternity for you.
Well, first, never mind.
Ryan, you were asking a question.
Michael, how has the past week felt like a week to you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's been 1 week. That's all I know.
Since you looked at me.
I know the Weird Al version a little better.
There was a College Humor version that I have on my iPod. I know fairly well.
Irrelevant.
Fairly well.
You know, it actually has been about 1 week since I looked at any of you.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Give or take a couple hours.
Because we
to the day.
Are not friends outside of this podcast. None of us.
Yeah, we pretty much just pack up silently and then just leave.
Our agents found us this gig. They're like, hey, you guys can act like friends. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, not all of us are good actors, but I wasn't referring about to myself.
James, has anything happened to you since we last... Actually, I've seen you more recently than the last recording.
You have. I just came and bummed around for like 3 days. I just stayed here.
Oh, yeah?
No, nice. That didn't happen. I've lied to all of you. I'm sorry. Nothing... really exciting has happened. I got Godzilla in theaters, the new one.
Don't
I
saw ruin that. It, man.
Oh, you did see that one.
Don't ruin it.
Yeah, I saw that one, and then I saw Neighbors, and that was really
which
was, funny.
Wait,
was,
wait, don't spoil that for me.
Okay. It was funny.
Did they live next to each other?
They did.
Spoilers,
they did, in fact.
Man.
Seth
Spoilers.
Rogen and Zac Efron lived next to each other for quite a long time. Quite a lot of that movie
okay.
is them being
Michael,
neighbors.
Michael just asked you not
yeah.
to spoil it, so come on.
Yeah.
Let's be real here.
What next you're going to tell far. Me that Zac Efron takes his shirt off at some point?
He spends a good 10 minutes of that movie at least with his shirt off.
I make no such promises about not spoiling Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yes, the movie this week.
Which Steven has chosen to close out the seventh cycle of four. And Steven, I know you've obviously mentioned on this podcast before that you're a big fan of the kaiju genre, which I didn't know was a word until...
Well, you, Ryan, right there, you get a point for referencing it by name, kaiju.
The what?
Kaiju.
Bless you.
Thank you. I didn't know that was even a word until Pacific Rim made me more aware of it and the genre as a whole, which, of course, you know, I watched Power Rangers as a kid, just
Mighty
like anybody.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers!
But I still had no idea that that was a genre, because there's... that's probably the one of the biggest examples in American culture of this genre. It's definitely more
kind of brought it
prevalent
to the forefront,
in Japanese. But what makes you such a fan of the genre?
The kaiju genre? I mean, I guess originally Power Rangers. You know, those dinosaurs, man, those are pretty amazing. And as a kid, it's really easy to see past the fact that it's, you know, guys in suits, plastic and rubber suits.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess as I've grown up, I've just kind of like taken that, like, giant robot battles. Like I've kept that suspension of disbelief, even though my eyes, see how fake it is, unless I'm watching something newer, oddly enough,
like professional wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like if you want to get into it, if I watch a newer Power Rangers, I just can't get into the Megazord battles. Cause like the plastic is so wobbly and the video quality is so good that I'm like, oh, this is so clearly fake, whereas like these older things, the film grain and the you know, the imperfections actually kind of hide it a bit. And to kind of bring it back to Godzilla, this 1956 version of a 1954 movie has, you know, a fair amount of film grain and black and white, kind of hides a lot of the fact that it's a man in a rubber suit.
And that's cheap. They should have made their effects better and gotten
CG
rid of film grain.
They're going to say they should have made some CG.
They should have as well.
In 1954.
Yeah.
Way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I guess I'm a fan because of that original Power Rangers. And then later on, my parents got me Godzilla. The movie we watched was part of a 2 videotape box set that I would watch on repeat as a kid. So I, you know, I got into Godzilla and there was a couple other
not
shows.
Not without rewinding in between.
Not with, well, I would rewatch. I watched it once and I kept hitting play and nothing happened.
Yeah. There was no repeat button on your VHS player.
My what?
Your
VHS
player.
Ryan, you lose
player.
A point. It's a VCR.
I did it on purpose as a joke, obviously.
You'll keep your point. Obviously. You'll keep your point. You know how to push my buttons. Like a VCR. You have to push the
buttons.
Yeah,
you do have to push buttons on a
Steven.
VCR. You got to push buttons on a lot of things these days.
Not as much.
I'm going to give you a point,
Steven.
Like women, am I right? Am I right, fellas?
Giving points?
Yeah, women give points sometimes. Yeah. Like, hey, that's a nice shirt.
It's like, oh,
thank that's
you.
A good point.
It's a good point. Yeah. It is a nice shirt.
It is a good shirt. That's a good point.
This is objectively a good shirt.
Isn't that what all girls do? Yeah.
Debate closed, I guess.
But yeah.
So you were the only one who had seen this,
original,
this movie before.
This monstrous romp.
You showed it to the three of us for the first time. But we do have some Godzilla experience, I believe. I think we've all seen the seminal Matthew Broderick classic, Godzilla.
Who have we ever?
I actually don't hate that one.
Me neither, actually.
It's not bad. And I was saying to Ryan just before this, like, Godzilla movies, or maybe it was you, Michael, are pretty cheesy. Ironically, the Godzilla movie I watched the most as a kid, Godzilla versus Megalon, I have a hard time watching now. I would much rather watch the Matthew Broderick version than some Japanese 70s era Godzilla movies.
I mean,
one gets bashed as like the worst thing ever.
I think it's just by, I guess, franchise purists who didn't like some of the creative decisions they took. But for people who aren't necessarily big followers of the franchise, as like a standalone movie, I thought it was my first Godzilla movie when I was a kid.
Monster movie. Yeah, you know, he caused some destruction. He chases them around. They have a hard time beating him. There's some.
I liked all the baby Godzillas.
Yeah, I thought that was a good.
So I like that it looked James, like a big dinosaur.
Just a little tangent, I guess. You said you've seen the new one, right?
Yes, I have seen the new one.
Do you think that will replace the 98 version in our minds? Do you think it's...
No.
No?
Wait,
you don't think it's better than that one?
I'm not saying that it's not... It's just different, you know? Because it's like it's trying to be more true to the franchise. Yeah, and I don't want to spoil.
Yeah,
it.
Please don't.
I will say that I didn't really like it.
Can I ask one thing about the new Godzilla movie?
Yes.
Does Zac Efron take his shirt off?
He does, actually.
For about a good 10 minutes?
For a good 10 minutes, he's just on screen, you know, just like, holy shit, what's going on? Like on tops of roofs, just running away from...
Are he and Godzilla neighbors?
They are neighbors, and I mean, that's part of the reason he rampages. He's like, you know, he's been just trying, he's been calling
Zac
him,
Efron.
And he's like, dude, I'm trying.
All right,
to call
now
you.
I feel like you're just spoiling Neighbors again, so you're going to have to stop.
I feel like, you know, it's really Zac Efron's fault. He was, you know, baiting him and,
he was taunting him, I'll keep it down, and then he totally doesn't.
He's pulling all these pranks on Godzilla, and, you know. At some point, a monster is going to be a monster, and he's just nothing he can do.
And then the glare off his abs, it's got to get annoying.
Yeah, it's just like every morning sunlight. He wakes up, and it's like, ah!
What's that?
What is that?
What's that
the shiny abs of Zac Efron?
Michael, it's really not hard to tell what you're thinking, where your mindset is at any given time. You just kind of...
It's always Zac Efron's abs.
You're very apparent to everyone. That's the best thing I can say about you.
I don't know if that's true.
All right. So I want to bring it back to the 98 American Godzilla, because around 2004, which is the 50th anniversary of Godzilla, I saw this movie, Godzilla Final Wars, which is the last Japanese Godzilla movie that they've made. And I started looking into like all the mythology of it. And amazingly enough, the American Godzilla fits within the Japanese mythological Godzilla universe. Like in the Japanese Godzilla series, the American one happened, which is really interesting. They actually feature him and mention him, and he gets in a fight. And I actually have some comics where he fights the real Godzilla. But that's the thing. They say this was not the real Godzilla, the one that attacked New York.
Interesting.
For a point, does anybody know what the Japanese refer to the American Godzilla as?
Gojira.
They've got to like cough it out.
There's a lighter. Waves a lighter in front of your face.
Ferris Bueller.
No, I'm not him in this
that.
Movie.
What was the point of that dumb lighter?
As a kid, I was like, oh, because he breathes fire. So he saw the light and he was like, oh no, Godzilla's back.
I was like, well, I don't have any smelling salts, so I guess this will have to do.
No,
I guess.
The Japanese refer to him as Zilla, which I thought was kind of cool. He's just a lizard. He's not a god lizard. And, you know, as a kid, I always thought Godzilla is a god lizard.
This the American
lizard.
One.
Yeah. That's okay. Kind of them taking a shot at us, then.
The whole thing is, if you watch the...
If you thought that was bad...
if you thought that was bad, Godzilla Final Wars, they just destroy him, like, in 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. They hate it.
Wow. But,
yeah.
So he exists in that mythology.
He exists,
in
but
only
god.
Just so.
Yeah. Just to be like, look how much better our suit guy is than your CG.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the topic at hand now. What did you guys think of Godzilla King of the Monsters, this 1956 version, I believe?
Well, I have a question about it. I haven't seen Gojira, the very, very first one.
Right.
Is this that movie cut up, like, interspliced
right.
with...
Adapted to right. American... They essentially Power Rangers'd it. They took Japanese footage and put American actors in it and new footage.
I could tell they were, like, cutting to the American actor, to Steve Martin.
Which I still find hilarious.
Not the actor.
And cutting to him, I would be like, oh, I could kind of tell that I think that was the original movie, and then they just like added a shot of him in. And it worked.
He's almost always in a frame by himself.
Or talking to someone and you only see the back of them.
Yeah.
Or just a couple Japanese extras that they hired. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I
thought it was more Kung Pao-ing it than Power Rangers-ing it. Actually.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with...
It's another point, right? I love Kung Pao.
I'm not in love with older movies. It's just I'm a big advocate of we learn from the past and we improve upon them in the present. And I think a lot of... I don't want to say a lot of remakes are better. I'm not saying that at all. But a lot of things that are influenced by older things, I think, tend to be better.
Like compare Godzilla to Jurassic Park.
Right. I would say Jurassic Park did it better. Or like... You know, The Sting is an excellent heist movie, but I would say something like The Usual Suspects to me is a lot better, even though The Sting didn't win.
Like, lays the foundation.
Yeah. Right. Like, without it, there wouldn't be this, but I still think that the thing that came later is better. So that's kind of how I felt about this, where I had an appreciation for it. I understood the groundwork that it laid, and But in the process, I was like, well, I've seen bigger and better. So this is just kind of, I'm glad I've seen it. I'm not going to watch it again.
Yeah, I was kind of, I felt the same way. And I really dislike when I feel like I'm watching a movie and my appreciation for it is lessened because I've got all of these other things that in my archive of movies that I've seen. And I'm just like,
I just saw the 2014 version. Yeah. Why couldn't they have Godzilla do all that stuff?
Why couldn't they have the badass, like, Mecha Godzilla? Woo, that would have been cool.
Where was Bryan Cranston in this one?
Where was Bryan Cranston in this
one? Where was Zac Efron?
Why wasn't Bryan Cranston playing the role of Steve Martin?
The comedian.
The comedian. And then also, yeah. But I mean, like, I totally agree with you, Michael. Like, the movie itself, while I totally have this appreciation for it, it didn't really grab me until the climax, I guess, where it was, you know, just Godzilla just wrecking everything. But I mean, that being said, it's you know, it's still a pretty well paced movie. I just wish that I kind of wish that we had watched the original
Japanese,
because I felt it was almost like a bastardization of that movie.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, there's the character, I have such a hard time remembering names, I'm not even going to try with Japanese names, but the scientist who creates the oxygen bomb, it seems like, I bet in the original Japanese they would feature him a lot more. He was only in like 3 scenes in this, and then
this guy's a big
and he's kind of the hero.
The hero, and I bet, you know, in the original Japanese it's much more coherent and he would maybe be a clear protagonist, whereas in this one, in this version, there really is none.
I mean, there's a guy that's framed as the protagonist, and then as a result he's super weak because he's just there to spell things out for us.
He really is just there for
to translate for the American audiences watching.
And I think that at least the four of us are sophisticated enough to be able to pick up on what's happening in the original Japanese.
You're also right that it kind of worked for it too, because, like, I felt, despite the fact that there are two completely separate movies almost, they managed to fit footage together in a way that was believable.
Right. Yeah, the cutting was good, I thought.
They spliced it, you know, pretty convincingly. The jungles in the background look the same. I'm sure the fact that it was black and white helps.
Yeah.
James, you're going to get a point for mentioning the original Japanese version, which is probably, whenever next time I watch this movie, will have to be that, because watching it now, I feel like I'm kind of being hand-led through it.
Yeah, that's really what bothered me, especially because you're saying, Michael, that the main character, Steve Martin, is framed as this protagonist that is just kind of there.
Yeah.
And it really kind of hinders.
Yeah. Like, you expect him to be active, and instead he's literally just an observer of the entire movie.
Yeah.
I also had, just apart from the fact that he was there, I had a problem with this character. Maybe even just his acting. I don't know if he was written this way or not, but he never seems particularly surprised or worried about anything that's happening. He's just kind of...
He was sweating that one time.
Yeah, he's...
he even wiped it off.
Yeah. He's often vaguely looking off screen in sort of a concerned manner. But even, you know, they start with the in media ray thing at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Even when he's, like, on the brink of death, he doesn't seem...
particularly
stressed out enough.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, oh man, this is not my day.
And then his narration is like, oh man, this terrible thing was happening.
Steve Martin signing off.
He's just a cool cat.
Yeah, he's just
he
like,
never loses his cool
under pressure.
He's just your very typical 50s cool cat.
It's another product of the time, I guess, but it's still not a very believable thing.
That's another good reason to watch the Japanese dub, is because, A, you know, I'm sure it's hard for him to react to all these things that he's not on set with, and these people he's never really met.
Did he at least watch the first movie beforehand?
I seriously doubt it.
Probably not, no. But, there, you know, there's elements of the dub that the Japanese woman who's in the love triangle with the oxygen scientist and the other guy, I forget his name, I think he was in the army.
Yeah.
The other guy, or the Navy. She has some lines where she has to like plead with oxygen scientist guy, and she's just kind of like, "Please, you have to do this. It'll save the world." You know, very. You know, I'm not one big proponent of.
Are you
the
talking
argument.
About the English dubs?
Yeah, the English dubs. You know, you have these people like never watch. Don't watch the Sailor Moon in English. Watch it in Japanese. I'm usually not like that, but watching this movie, I'm like, okay, that was a really flat performance.
I mean, translation voice performances can make or break.
Yeah.
the mood of something. Yeah. Yeah. Watch Family Guy in Spanish. So much funnier.
I have to wonder, you know, those dubbing purists who will only listen to or watch Japanese dubs of things mm-hmm. that were made in Japan. Is it just because they don't understand the language and therefore they can't tell whether it's good acting or not?
Sometimes I wonder that too, actually.
Yeah. I think it's because... Well, I mean, looking at this, we have the original Japanese actor, like, throwing herself against the scientist, like, really pleading, and then...
She cries a lot.
Yeah, she cries, but, you know, the performance is very monotonous and flat. Mm-hmm. I think it's that, and, you know, there's translation errors, and I understand, you know, I'm interested to see the Japanese version of this, but...
I just have to believe...
Never get into that mindset.
I just have to believe there are as many... bad Japanese actors as there are American actors.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
But it's just impossible for me to tell.
Yeah. It's like their inflection could be all weird and you wouldn't know. It's like, I can't believe that Godzilla is coming here to attack us.
Yeah, but it's our job to not make a dub that sounds exactly like that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
So I want to talk about Godzilla itself, like the creature, because if you look at if I said we're going to watch a Godzilla movie, you probably think we're going to watch a really cheesy, campy thing where Godzilla's, you know, jumping up and down and shooting fire breath and,
you know, honestly,
everybody's going, "Yay, he saved the day."
I wouldn't have that thought. I had no
really
no
never seen.
I've not seen any of the cheesy Godzilla stuff.
So to you, Godzilla's like 98 American Godzilla.
It's that, and then it's my knowledge of this first one. And I know that he has battled other monsters. I didn't know if those movies are particularly cheesy or not.
So the big, not stereotype, but connotation of it is you know, it's this really cheesy. Like, these are like popcorn flicks and, you know, not very valuable cinema, you know. And some of them really do look like old rubber suits. Mm-hmm. But the reason I picked this one specifically is because it's the only one of the Japanese movies where Godzilla isn't there to fight another monster and just, you know, be an action movie up on the screen. He actually is representing something. Did anybody pick up on that?
Yes. All right. I did. He represents the atomic bombs.
He does.
Damn it.
Points.
Beat me.
Bada bing, bada boom. Yeah, this... James?
Oh, I was just going to say, what Michael said. Damn it. I thought that this... When you're talking about campiness and mm-hmm. you know, like jumping up and down, fire breath, that sort of thing, this movie felt like I wasn't too sure what to expect either. I mean, I have some knowledge of Godzilla, but not the whole mythology or anything. I could barely tell you half of the monsters that he fights. But like this movie itself felt like it felt pretty melancholy for a lot of it, and I really appreciated that, actually, because it was taking itself a little more seriously than I was expecting.
Yeah, I agree. And it's another thing. It's a common theme throughout the Godzilla franchise, I believe. It kind of goes along with the atomic bomb thing, too, where it's hard to tell who is more at fault in the situation mm-hmm. between the monster and the humans. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always a sense of... the humans might have been the ones provoking the monster or encroaching on its territory, and it's impossible for them to understand each other.
Yeah.
And
a big, maybe not problem, but weird thing about the Godzilla movies is the motivation and that fault is different in each one. In this one, the Japanese are the victims because, you know, Godzilla is essentially a giant H-bomb destroying the city. Especially at the beginning, he'll literally take out an entire boat in a flash of light, and the survivors have, you know, weird radiation burns. It's clearly that same atomic bomb aftermath.
I wanted to touch on that, literally the last thing you just said, the way the shots they chose to put on screen when he was being destructive, but not he himself wasn't in the shot.
So you're talking about first on the ocean, those boats.
Yeah, or like, you know, also when you see the city being destroyed and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But just a lot of the shots to me were like, that looks very, it doesn't even look disguised at all. It's like, that is something that would happen if an atomic bomb goes off.
Yeah. That's Hiroshima, that's Nagasaki.
Yeah, like they picked their shots very well.
Yeah.
The destruction mirrored exactly what he was supposed to represent, I felt.
Yeah, they did a really good job to make that metaphor, which is why I've come to appreciate this more as I've gotten older. Because as a kid, I actually never watched this movie. As a kid, I watched the Megalon movie, which now I'd never even watch.
Yeah.
I just did a 180.
Sorry, I noticed one cool little link between this movie and the 98 Godzilla. It's they step down into the monster's footprints, and they have the little
radiation
scanner things, but they look exactly the same as they do in the movie 40 years later.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have better, different technology, but I'm sure that was a deliberate
little homage.
Also like that they both have the scientists stepping into a footprint, you can be like, whoa. Although later on, there's a shot in this movie where the first time you actually see Godzilla, it's him kind of peeking over a hill, and all the villagers run away, and then they run up to the hill, and they're like, oh, look at the size of those footprints. And I'm like, I'm having a really hard time seeing these footprints.
Also, I feel that was a very poor choice for the first time to reveal him. The one thing this movie lacked for me, and it may be because of its age, but was a sense of dread. I never feared anything because to me it did look like he looked cheesy. Despite his destruction capabilities.
I disagree a little bit. I feared him. They kind of, before Jaws did a bit of a Jaws thing of not showing him destroying these military boats on the ocean. Just, you know, you just see destruction. You're like, what happened? And the first time you see him above that hill, it's kind of borderline cheesy.
Hey, there it is.
But I think that's because it happens during the day. There's some reveals where there's a storm on the island of Osaka, is it? I forget. There's a storm on the island. And it starts off as a storm. You hear the rain approaching, and then it really picks up. And then you start hearing the roars and the footsteps. Then you wake up, and it's just devastation. You see just buildings crumbling and people crushed underneath it. And I was like, oh, geez, what is this? You see a foot. You look out a window and you just see a gigantic foot go by. And I was like, dude, Godzilla is like this force of nature. And in every movie, he's like a force of nature. You just can't control him.
I do think he looks the best in the night scenes in that one.
Yeah.
And
you get a point because that's where I was going.
At the end, whenever he's heading towards the city and he has to get through the power grid to get there, I do think that's when he looks his best.
Yeah, especially in the night. There's some fog. He just looks like an evil shadow, almost. Yeah. And there's a couple shots where they get up in his face and you see his little beady eyes, and then that looks cheesy.
Yeah, the googly eyes, not so much. But like when it's far away and
it's a profile,
and he's silhouetted against the fire, looks awesome. You know.
And I know, you know, to us the effects aren't that impressive, but I'm looking through it through the eyes of a VFX guy, knowing what technology was available back then.
Oh, yeah.
There's some really impressive shots where the people are running away from Godzilla in the foreground, and in the background is the city, and then there's some fire. And it's really hard to see where the foreground elements and background elements are beginning and ending. Mm-hmm. And not only that, it would be very hard back then to combine those two elements, and they did it pretty well. Sometimes you can clearly see matte lines in other types of movies, but in this, they're pretty solidly composited in. It looks like he's actually chasing them, you know, a mile behind, and he's this gargantuan beast.
Yeah.
I think I fall just on the other side of the line, kind of where Michael is, where what you're saying makes a lot of sense to me, but it still doesn't affect me as a person who watches movies in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't just been watching movies in 2014. Other years, too.
Pretty much his entire life.
Yeah. Not the 90s, though. I didn't see any movies in the 90s.
Yes.
Yeah. What about the Matthew Broderick movie?
I don't think I missed anything, either.
Watch that 3 years later.
He waited.
Again, I don't think I missed anything. any more thoughts before we rate it?
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba.
I'm ready to rate.
I can't think of anything. I'd say let's do it.
Let's do it. Do it.
I suppose I could start.
I suppose you could.
Perhaps. Go for it.
I'll try to anyway. I think that was pretty much my final thought. Was just
I'll try to anyway.
Before that, where as a gentleman and a film scholar, I can sort of come to appreciate the effects and scope that the movie was trying to deliver, but to me it still looked really cheesy, and the other elements of the film were somewhat lacking as well. You know, like we said, the dubbing and the acting in general. I'm going to go with a B minus.
I can go next.
Do it.
Yeah, for me, I appreciated the groundwork that it laid, but in execution, since everything I've seen since, you know, that has come out in years since that movie came out, which is quite a long time, 58 years ago.
60. Oh, this movie, yeah, this 58. Movie. Godzilla as yeah. a whole is 60.
It's a lot harder for me to get into something that looks as dated as this does. So I wasn't sucked in there, and then the role of Steve Martin did kind of hurt my enjoyment mm-hmm. of it from a structural standpoint and from an interesting character standpoint. Any characters that were interesting, we were kind of gypped out of a lot of their development. Mm-hmm. But that being said, it wasn't a bad movie by any means. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mirror Ryan's B minus.
James?
Yeah, Michael, you made a lot of the same points that I was going to. I feel like this movie was missing a lot because it was trying to bring it to a wider audience through the Steve Martin character. And there were, what?
Just Steve Martin. No. Makes me laugh every time.
And there were a lot of, I feel like, missed opportunities that I guess I couldn't really get since they had that inclusion with a lot of the characters. It makes me really want to watch the Japanese version, actually. But I'm afraid this one just didn't really grab me. The effects were very, very good for their time. And this movie and its predecessor just absolutely laid the groundwork for the monsters, you know, bash sort of movie. The Monster Mash movie. And I'm going to have to give this one a C plus.
All right.
Yeah.
It's up to me. I try to get into like the mindset of just post World War II Japan.
Yeah.
Still rebuilding. This movie must have hit home for everybody.
That's a bad choice of words.
Oh. You get a point, Michael.
Too soon, man. Too soon.
So, like, there's, like, a really good metaphorical symbolism that I love in this movie because, it like, geez, like, this is from a movie for them from their point of view. It's kind of their way to cope with all this destruction.
But then you still pick the American version.
Well, I know. I'm getting there, man. Okay. Well, hey, this is the version I got. This is what I have. Okay. I got. I don't know. I still love the effects because for its time, it's you really couldn't do much better. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know about Japanese cinema at that time. I mostly know of American monster movies at the time. So I don't know what their state of the art was. Maybe this was it, and I can't fault them for it and call it cheesy if this is the best that you could do with that technology. And there's some still impressive shots. Like I can't imagine how I would do that without a computer. I honestly, like, it would be extremely hard. I'm going to give it a B minus. The only thing that's holding it back is just the American dub kind of gets in the way of those Japanese feelings of dealing with all that destruction, I think.
Well, our final rating then is a B minus. I wanted to make one more point of something I thought of and forgot to bring up before we go into the challenge.
Challenge.
The way that we had Steve Martin narrate this movie,
mm-hmm.
And it was at its core a horror movie, kind of.
Yeah.
And I think it preceded this by... like the original Japanese movie preceded it by 3 or 4 years, and this movie by 1 or 2. It actually reminded me a lot of the Twilight Zone TV series.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's narrated, the way that you have, you know, some terror
happening. Imagine if you will.
Oh, no, I saw a lot of parallels. I've only seen a few episodes of the Twilight Zone, but I mean,
there's
that I really
like.
Something
on the wing of a plane.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Rather, so it's totally a Twilight Zone scenario.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm wondering if there was any influence from this movie, specifically this version of the movie, to the formatting of Twilight Zone.
I'm sure there was.
Yeah, kind of like how the newer iterations and even some of the older, campier ones are just sort of disaster movies or monsters fighting on a large scale. This does have more of a somber, horrific tone to it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
Anyways.
Bonus point up. There's a bonus point right here. Godzilla is the inspiration for what from Power Rangers?
Dragon Zord.
Boom. Michael gets the point.
Nice.
Rita Repulsa.
Oh, dang it. Zordon. Ah, no, that's no. That's not
Alpha that. 5.
Tommy.
What's the robot that goes I? That one?
Alpha 5.
It's Alpha 5? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember.
Power Rangers never
probably,
watched that show.
Probably something dumb like Alpha 5 or something.
Oh, you're just absolutely right.
Whatever.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they would name it that. I just didn't, I don't remember.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Look, I can write this stuff. It's easy. All
right. Challenge, 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 challenge,
having sex.
Challenge, challenge, challenge,
challenge, challenge,
challenge.
Steven, it's time for the challenge.
Okay, so if you look in front of you, wait a second, what's that? There's a giant monster. Godzilla is attacking the city.
The apartment.
The apartment. Okay, it's up to you three, not me. I'm not going to do anything. You three.
What are our roles?
Steven's getting out of here.
I am.
Do we have to band together?
You are going to each separately give me your plan to deal with this scenario. Godzilla's attacking
guys, should
the
we
city.
Team up?
What do we do?
No. I already got this.
I don't okay. trust you guys. I don't I trust this. You.
Who right. would like to go first?
Oh, I got this. Don't
Michael's
worry.
Got this,
we don't even need to hear y'all's suggestions because okay, okay. I got a good one. Godzilla, what is he?
He's
a lizard.
A lizard.
He's the...
The king lizard.
King of monsters?
He's the physical incarnation of the atomic bombs.
Right.
Yes.
Well, why don't we just use our time machine... Prevent the Japanese from bombing Pearl Harbor. Prevent them from joining the Axis powers. Because if you do that, Godzilla never even comes to exist. We just go back in the past. We wipe them from existence.
Solid argument.
That. Oh, keep going.
And if for some reason he still manages to find his way into existence and attack us, just feed him Jaeger bombs. Because Jaegers are the... They destroy kaijus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Solid plan. Solid plan. Yeah. All right. Ryan, it's up to you.
All right, guys. I got the 14-pronged plan to stop Godzilla. You ready?
You're going to stab him with 14 prongs. Get out of here.
That's a rake, dude.
That's a rake.
Just see Ryan batting Godzilla with a rake.
Go away.
Get out of here. Shoo. Okay, so it's like, what is Godzilla trying to do, right? He's trying to get into our city and stomp on everything. And... Maybe breathe fire, depends on which one.
I was going to say have a good time.
Well, that's his idea of a good time.
Okay,
okay, so that's step one. We got to figure out what his idea of a good time is. So my 14-prong plan to stop Godzilla relies on setting up an obstacle course between it and the city. Step one of the obstacle course.
Step one of 14.
We dig a hole. 100 feet in diameter, about 400 or 500 feet deep. We cover it with a whole lot of sticks and leaves. We get those kids from the movie Holes. I'm sure they've had a lot
they
of experience
just dig
digging.
Straight down.
We make them measure their 500 foot shovels. We use those. We say you can't come up out of the hole until your shovel. Touches the rim to the
that sounds sexual.
we cover with a lot of sticks and leaves. If he doesn't notice the leaves or the bait that we set out on top, and if he just goes around it, then that would lead us to step two.
Are there really 14 steps?
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how long I can.
I'm pretty sure Godzilla just like stepped
that was
on
a lot
kid.
Of steps in step one. I just wanted to say
yes. Well, it's
I would at least assume
it's
like
sub
so step one A is get
sub
the
step A and B. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, got you. Got to get Shia LaBeouf.
Sub step C, Shia LaBeouf. Yes,
just Shia LaBeouf.
Okay.
Well, actually, he's a great resource because he can like copy everyone who has made like plans to destroy Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he can just plagiarize their blueprints.
Boom.
All right. So step two.
That's topical, Michael. One more point.
Step two, we get a we make a giant net, and we lay it on the ground, and we set up stakes underneath it, you know, so it's like one of those nets that army guys have to step through. But Godzilla, he's big and dumb. He's gonna get tangled up and he's gonna fall over. Hopefully into the hole that's next to the webbing.
I have a question. Yes. You mentioned bait on hole. Yeah, you didn't mention bait. Yeah. You said there's gonna be bait on the hole. I was just wondering.
That also sounds sexual.
What the bait was? Yeah, bait on the hole. What is that?
Probably Michael.
Probably
actually.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm pretty alluring.
That is
Michael
true.
And his time machine work. Well,
please,
out of here.
Please.
and then he disappears before he even gets.
No, I'll give him a rake to defend himself.
14-pronged
rake to defend himself. So if he, you know, it's actually very likely that he will just step on the netting. And and continue to keep walking. Yeah, Michael, I'm going to need you to lead him through all of the steps. You can't just be bait for step one. You have to lead him through and actually perform the obstacle course yourself faster than Godzilla is doing it.
It should be easy because it's an obstacle course for like a 400-foot thing. You can just walk through it.
I don't have the cardio to like, like I will be so winded by the time I get done with the nets. I don't
by
even want to know what
get,
the other 12
By the time you get
are.
To step three, which is a large wall, a very large wall that he's going to have to climb over.
All right, can I ask
and
a
you,
question?
And you can go stand by the wall and be like, climb this wall, homo. And
can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is your 14-prong plan just boot camp? Is it just giant Godzilla boot camp? Is that all
we're
this
getting,
is?
Hold on, are we training Godzilla for something?
Are you Shia LaBeouf?
Look on Ryan's face right now.
Because I have a feeling your plan is just making him stronger.
Yeah, actually, it's just going to make him a lot stronger.
And it's building camaraderie.
All right, James, you think you can do better?
Okay, I have a question. Okay. When is Passover, Hanukkah, any of those Hebrew...
I mean, Passover was like, what, 5 weeks ago?
Damn it. Okay, so it's going to have to be Hanukkah. My guess is that we're going to have to build like a big set of like those curly hair things. And
sideburns?
Not like...
Sidelocks.
You know what they are. Like a Hasidic Jew.
Yeah.
You know? And then we build like a giant hat and then put the danglies on
a
the hat.
A yarmulke.
Not a yarmulke. Like, what's the one with the
Then you're
the
mixing religions.
A fez?
No, well, I guess a yarmulke. Let's just say a yarmulke. We put it on Godzilla. He realizes, oh my God, I'm late to temple. because as we all know, he is a kaiju.
Oh.
That was the most racist thing next to Plane Drifter that has happened.
Oh, come on.
He just said kaiju.
James, high five. I love a good pun. Okay. All right, let's do the point breakdowns here.
Oh, that was so
Ryan
stupid.
Ryan is face palming.
I cannot. Okay, hold on. First of all, I can't completely take credit for that. My friend had a Halloween costume last year that was a kaiju, where he literally dressed up as Godzilla and put on a hat like
you
that.
You can keep the point. It made me laugh a lot. Okay, let's do the points breakdown. I'll start with you, James. I love a good pun. Jimmy you got four right there, just because he's a kaiju. I'm late for temple.
Oi.
We remind Godzilla of the divine presence.
That's true.
Always above him. Yes. He had forgotten.
Because there's always a bigger fish, you know? There's always somebody up there.
Ah, dang it, James. Star Wars reference.
Come on, that didn't even make sense. That didn't even make
the
sense.
The relevance. The context
I'm
didn't
sorry.
Work.
It worked enough. All right. Don't worry. It doesn't really change the outcome. So combine that with the point you had from earlier in discussion. I forget what for. It was for bring out the Japanese dub.
Yeah.
James has 6 points.
Woo.
Ryan, you are next. You got 2 points in the in your plan for having Michael in there and
for Godzilla
and
boot camp.
Building a gigantic hole. I was like, okay. And he wants to have a good time. And then Michael saw the flaw in your plan pretty quick. So you got 2 points, bringing you to a total of 5 with the other 3 you had for your discussion. I'm trying to remember what the other 3 were for. You had like 3 good points, which is why it's hard to remember, like separately. You got 3 good things in there.
Hey, he's like a woman. Good points.
Good points.
Oh, yeah.
Callback.
Michael.
Debate closed.
You got 4 points during the challenge for... actually describing the plot of a Godzilla movie.
There's a time travel Godzilla movie?
They try to get rid of him by time traveling.
Really?
Nice.
Wow. Shot in the dark. And,
nice.
And another point for your Shia LaBeouf commentary. So that's 5 for the challenge. And you had 4 for your discussion during the discussions and jokes during the first part of the podcast. I got a point that Ryan gave me at some point.
I'm going to give you another point, Steven. Right. Just for your point giving. I like the outcome of your point giving.
Gee, I wonder why. So, Michael, you actually, I love how you, I was like, wait, he said he's never seen a Godzilla movie. That's the plot of, like, one of them.
Nice.
Fantastic job.
All right, so Michael takes it, and he's going to kick off cycle
I'm back to
us.
Being first in the cycle. Woo!
You win with 9 points.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Well, thank you, Steven. Whoa! Thanks for the applause, guys. All right, so I like this method of how I picked my movie last time, because I just have a list, and I really have no preference. So I'm just going to go around. I'm going to ask you all to give me a number. I'm going to make it 1 through 15 for each of you. Mm-hmm. Ryan?
9.
James?
15. I only deal in extremes.
Steven?
4.
All right.
28.
Our movie for next week is The Professional.
I've seen it.
Is this Leon the Professional?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
I haven't either.
Nice.
Great.
I've heard of it. It's Natalie Portman, right?
Yep.
Star Wars.
Natalie Portman as a incredibly competent child actress.
That's about
in a movie.
No, I just
don't
mean
spoil it.
As an act.
Stop it. Don't talk about it.
Natalie Portman's in it.
Don't.
Are there neighbors in this movie?
No, but there are weird cuts to Zac Efron's abs.
Okay, I'm okay with it then.
And that's why I love this movie so much.
As what, like a
it's actually,
9-year-old?
That's the home cut that Michael made.
He splices that into all of his movies.
I was like 6 years old when it came out, and I was just making bootleg copies on the street, selling my version, the unedited version. And it just had cuts to like a 7-year-old Zac Efron's abs.
And then Michael went away for a while once the cops found what he was selling.
Well, but it's just abs, and I was underage too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, can you get in trouble for that? Because you'd be underage.
Yeah, and I mean, and I know Ryan hasn't seen it because I mean it was a '90s movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
probably for good reason. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well,
I am looking forward to it, actually.
Ryan doesn't see any movie that doesn't have at least 18-year-old Zac Efron's abs in it, so therefore he doesn't watch anything in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
It's a good enough reason.
Yeah.
I know what I like. Mm-hmm. Don't hate me.
Very cool.
Steven, what's going on with you?
I'm good. I saw a Lindsey Stirling concert. It was good. Oh, wait. You mean the channel. Dude, a lot. We've been releasing a lot of new videos. It feels awesome to be back on the production schedule. Most recently, we did a Godzilla movie, Godzilla parody.
What do you know?
Was that the one about time travel?
No.
Okay. The one that we made, yeah.
That's the one that Steven was referencing,
yeah.
Actually.
You referenced my movie.
His own.
No, it was fun. We did a Godzilla movie. That's up on the YouTube channel. And the next video is going to be an Ask Hyperdrive. So by the time... Yeah, you still have time to submit questions. So submit your questions to us on Facebook or Twitter or on our YouTube page, and we're going to answer them.
Hey, Hyperdrive, what's your favorite color?
You'll have to subscribe to find
out.
Hey,
Hyperdrive, how do I get girls?
You'll have to... We'll have to subscribe to find out.
You're not
going to
give us like a preview? You're not going to give us like a little sneak preview?
Girls like giving points.
So give them...
That one's free, kid.
Feed them points that they can point out.
Yeah.
And say, that's a good point.
I'm wearing a shirt. That's a good shirt. Yes!
Got her. Got her.
I'm going to give you 1 point for next week just for your little head swivel that you did just there.
Ryan just did this.
Ryan's starting next week with a point.
All right. Yeah. That.
Yeah, I guess that's going to just about do it unless anybody else has...
I've lost 17 pounds.
Congrats, buddy. Good stuff.
Proud of you.
I haven't eaten in so long.
Eaten more.
I feel bad. I've had this food on the table the entire podcast. I'm going to hide it.
I don't like cheese.
I'm going to put it back on the table.
I like cheese.
I'm going to eat it in front of you.
Dang it.
You're a sociopath.
I'm going to stuff it in your face.
Oh, okay.
Let's go around the table. We didn't even introduce ourselves at the beginning,
geez.
I think.
We did not. We had a nice song, though.
Let's go around and introduce ourselves. I'm Ryan.
I'm James.
I'm Steven.
And I'm Michael.
And let's go around the table for one last roll call.
Okay, I'm James McOodles.
I'm Steven Stupin, the Burbs Suburban Zarita.
I'm Mike Bourbon.
And I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under a Rock. Rock, 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 rock.
We're gonna rock on that
rock, 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 rock.
From under this rock, we'll party all night.
We're gonna eat the sandwich.
Rock, rock, eat the sandwich, eat the sandwich, eat the sandwich, and rock.
Thank you for listening to From Under a Rock. We hope you have a good night. Sleep tight.
Don't let Godzilla bite.
And if you're a girl, keep giving points because it makes us feel good.
It really does.
Sleep now.
Also, how do we get you?
Forever's holy embrace.